scripture. You don't even have to look it up. It's right there. Look at that. Talk about short. One line. I know you're windy. You get three lines. That's great. Thank you. Oh, anybody want to give theirs up to Chuck? Okay. Thanks, everybody, for your role here at New Beginnings. Everybody has a role. And it's important that we're all doing it, because otherwise things wouldn't happen as they should. So, Judy, thank you for getting us started this morning and for your role as treasurer here at New Beginnings. You're very faithful, and we appreciate that. I want to thank Justin, too. Every time I have a video to show or something like that, I send it to him, and he's always happy to do that, so appreciate that. But thanks, everybody, for being here. So, Scott, you want to put up the... You can turn that light off there so they can see it a little bit better. Go to number two right away. I asked Daniel this earlier today, this morning. I said, Daniel and Megan, they were there early, and I said, do you guys have beautiful feet? They looked at me really strange. Megan, I had Megan take off her shoes. I said, well. Yeah, exactly. My toes don't look like that, I'll tell you that. This is not the kind of beautiful feet that I'm talking about, though. We're talking about biblically speaking, beautiful feet. Romans 10:13-15, Paul says this: everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. So do you have good, beautiful feet is the question. Do you bring good news to people and tell them about Jesus? Let's go to the next slide. As I was spending time on New Beginnings' behalf months ago, asking the Lord, what do you have in store for New Beginnings? What do you have in mind? What would you... This is very clear. Oftentimes it's not as clear, but this time it's very clear. Strongly sensed that he was wanting a change in my heart, and I believe in all of our hearts, to be more sensitive to his promptings and is asking us to share the good news about Jesus with people around us. So in obedience to that, what the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart, we are starting this series of messages on being sent. And as I was thinking about being sent, the Holy Spirit reminded me, Mike, you're a little dense, but I love you. He said, remember what I said through Kathy Brubaker? It has not changed. It's the same. And he had me recall what Kathy said. He gave Kathy this vision. Kathy had this in her mind's eye, this vision. While she was singing and praising the Lord, she received this picture. There was a large hand holding a vertical, bright, white shaft of some kind, a spear or like a bolt of lightning. The hand slammed the light shaft very powerfully, forcefully, violently into the ground. While I thought the ground was at teen central. Immediately, there were concentric rings expanding from the impact point. These rings were like ground swells from a nuclear bomb, like power swells that kept moving outward like ripples from a stone. Everything around them became rubble when the swells hit. My impression was that the impact affected the area beyond Teen Central, beyond Mannheim, into the surrounding regions and areas and beyond. That's what the Lord gave her. It's like, wow. And he's saying, remember. He's telling us to remember that vision because it was from him for us. And so in response to the Lord prompting me to do this vision series or being sent series, I felt I should make this symbol and that we could use it as a reminder. And with it, is, it contains a scripture from Acts 1:8. You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem was their town. Judea was the area. Samaria was like their country. And then to the ends of the earth. Hence the rings going out. That same thing is what God's calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're patient with us. You're patient with me. Spirit, Lord, I know that you want me to say these things I'm saying this morning, but Lord, I can't make any difference with just my words, so I need you, Spirit, Lord. I need you to take my words that are nothing and make them something. Hit them with something that is from you and not from me, that they would know it's your heart, your words, your message to them, Lord, and to me. It's to me, too, Lord. So, Spirit, Lord, come in the midst of all this. Prick our hearts where it's needed. Bring conviction where it's needed. Change us where it's needed, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the next couple of months, the elders and some special guests will be preaching a series of messages on being sent. The Lord just doesn't want us to preach nice messages and for us just to go about life as we always go about life. But he wants these messages to somehow make a change in all of us. Like I said, I can't bring about any changes in anyone, not even in myself. But he desires real fruit to come from these messages. These messages are from his word and they're from his heart. As part of this series of messages on being sent, we're going to have two special guests visit with us and preach on the same thing, being sent. One is Lisa Hostler from Align Life Ministry. She's going to be here on May 15th. And Tim Dearing is going to be here speaking on being sent on May 22nd. I gave them both a list of dates from today through the end of July, and they picked consecutive weeks in May. So I said, okay, Lord, we'll do it. And I said, great. And so, yeah, I look forward to hearing from both of them. Lisa's message I heard this fall at HarvestNet Leadership Conference. It was an international conference, and it was so powerful, so impactive. It's like, wow, I need to get her here. And she, when I asked, invited her to come, it was capital letters, Y-E-S, bump, 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 bump. Exclamation points. That's the kind of response you like, right? When you invite someone to come. So, without a doubt, all of God's people are sent. Jesus, when he calls us, he also sends us. Let's go to the next slide, Scott. And this is what he says in John 20, 21. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, as the Father sent me, I'm also sending you. And the next slide, another verse from John 13, 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Next slide. As Christians, we are sent as representatives or ambassadors for Jesus and the kingdom of God. We are sent by the Lord himself, and we're to announce and proclaim who he is with all we are. So therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. And we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. You see, we are his ambassadors. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I love my job. Do you love your job? That's our job. He's making an appeal through us to the lost world to be reconciled to God. Next slide. The Lord brings things your ways. I know he does. And as I was preparing this message, I came across this following illustration that I thought he wanted me to share. In 1968, in the Mexico City Olympics, there was a runner. His name was John Stephen Aquari. And he represented the nation of Tanzania. And he was going to be competing in the marathon, 26.2 miles. In the early part of the race, he collided with another runner and fell. He was badly cut, he dislocated his knee, and he hurt his shoulder. Most people seeing his injuries, who observed it all, thought he would go to the hospital and get out of the race. But he didn't. Instead, he received medical attention along the road, the route of the race, and got back in the race and continued to run. And I have this little video we're going to watch on this now. It's just a short, but it's good.
At the 1968 Mexico City Marathon, three men earned the right to stand on the victory platform. The winners of the gold, silver, and bronze Olympic medals. But for some, the reward is a personal one. The knowledge that they finished what they set out to do. A little over an hour after the winner of the marathon crossed the finish line, John Stephen Aquari of Tanzania approaches the stadium, the last man to complete the journey. A voice calls from within to go on. And so he goes on. Afterwards, it was written, "Today we have seen a young African runner who symbolizes the finest in the human spirit, a performance that gives true dignity to sport, a performance that lifts sport out of the category of grown men playing at games, a performance that gives meaning to the word courage." Perhaps the words of John Stephen Aquari epitomize all that is right in the human spirit. When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." The light in this Tanzanian runner is a beacon to us all, to endure to the end, to finish the race, however long and hard the road.
Thank you. Like a quarry, we've been sent on a mission, sent to complete a race. But unlike a quarry, Our race is not a foot race. We're not representing a country, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
So how's your race going? It's a good question, isn't it? I have to ask myself the same thing. John Stephen Aquari was single-minded and focused on his goal to finish that race. But in our race, we can and do easily become distracted. I don't know about you, but I do. We get too busy with life, or we get lazy at times. And sometimes we feel like quitting when the going gets tough. But that's not what God has asked us to do. When I hear the word sent, you can go to the next slide, Scott. It brings to mind missionaries, because missionaries are sent. What comes to mind when you hear the word missionaries? What do you think about when I say missionaries? This is a question you're supposed to answer. Someone in the jungle, yeah. Someone over there, right? Someone going to some faraway place. Someone risking their life. Yeah, that's true. For many, they lost their lives. Spreading the word. Planting the seed. But usually it's somewhere, Africa or Asia or who knows where. That's kind of our perception, but is it correct? Not really. Next slide. Let's go. This is what Webster says. Now, Webster is interesting because I think somebody that knows the Lord, I think, helped to write these things at any rate. It's a person that's undertaking a mission is a missionary. Person undertaking a mission. Mission is defined as the act of sending or being sent. So, most Christians are focused on the idea of sending others. And we support different missionaries here at New Beginnings. And they have been sent, and we support that. And that's a great thing. But we usually don't think about us being one of these. We don't see ourselves as the ones being sent. When in reality, both they are being sent and we are being sent. It's just that our mission is locally, with maybe family, friends, at the workplace, at school, while others are called to other nations. So, you can go to the next slide, Scott. Who's the greatest missionary of all times? Some people say Hudson Taylor. Next slide. Paul. It would be hard to imagine someone being a greater missionary than Paul, right? I mean, let's face it. But there was one that was even greater than Paul. Our Lord Jesus. We don't think of Jesus as being a missionary, do we? Remember what the definition was? Someone that was on a mission that was sent. Boy, does that describe Jesus to a T, doesn't it? Yeah, he was a missionary, the greatest missionary. And he absolutely knew his mission, and he absolutely completed his mission, and now he's sending us to continue his mission. Now, our mission is not to die on a cross like his was, but we still have a mission. Pastor, teacher, and author J. H. Wright says this, and I'm going to quote, "The whole Bible is the story of God's mission through God's people in the engagement with the world for the sake of his purposes." Missions is just not one item on a long list of things the Bible happens to talk about. Missions is what it's all about. He goes on to say, "The Bible is the story of God's redemptive mission, and it highlights the missionary nature of God himself." When we consider the attributes of God, this is still this right quote, consider back God's attributes, we most often think of characteristics like holiness, wisdom, justice, love. Rarely do we think about God's missionary nature. However, the scriptures are filled with sending language that speaks to the missionary sending nature of God, end quote. I hadn't really thought about it until I started studying this and getting into it. Yeah, God is a missionary God. Next slide. So the Bible's filled with these examples of God sending people, starting back in Genesis 12 with Abram, to the sending of his angel in Revelation 22. There are hundreds of examples where God shows himself as being missional or ascending God. The Hebrew verb to send is found nearly 800 times in the Old Testament. It's where God is commissioning people and sending them. And he's still doing it today. Perhaps the greatest illustration of this is found in the Old Testament with Isaiah. Go to the next slide, Scott. Isaiah 6, 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' To this, Isaiah responds, 'Here am I. Send me. Send me.'" The Old Testament goes on to with many, many examples of God sending, of course. But in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi, he sends a special messenger as a forerunner of the Messiah. And Malachi 3 says this, "See, I'm going to send my messenger." And then in the New Testament, that messenger was John the Baptist, John 1:8. The New Testament opens with the arrival of that very messenger that was predicted by Malachi in the last book of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist was described in the Gospels as one sent by God. So, yeah, John was sent, but we are sent too. That's the whole point. So this same sending language is in the Bible everywhere, throughout the Gospels, throughout the book of Acts, in each of the epistles that Paul wrote. The largest collection of these sending phrases is in the New Testament is found in the Gospel of John. It's used over 60 times, send and sending. Our God's a sending God. Let's go to the next slide. So, church, we are a sent people. Sent by Jesus to save a lost world. We all know this. This is nothing new. All the things I'm telling you here is nothing new, but we need to be reminded of it. It's just the way it is. You know, there's a lot of churches today, and there are good churches out there, and many of these churches are trying to attract people from the world to come to their church to worship with them. And that's not bad. But there's a definite distinction that's necessary, because many Christians don't think of themselves as being sent by God. Well, yeah, people could come in. We want to invite people to come. But no, he's sending us out. That's why the arrows are pointing outward on the word sending, because we're going out to them. And so we have this wrong idea that we're supposed to bring people in, but we really should be just going out. Too many people today in the church view Christians and the Christian church as and I'll quote this, it's a vendor or a peddler of religious goods and services. Members are viewed like customers who receive goods and services, and churchgoers expect to receive a wide range of variety of services, great worship, great praise, children's programs, small groups, Bible studies, visits when they're sick, and all this. These are normal expectations. But too much of it's focused just on us. And that's been an issue, I think, within the church. Holy huddle somehow or something. But we need to realize that God is a missionary God. And the Bible is a grand story of Him sending out people and the missionary activity. And so that's how God designed the church, for us to go out. So He wants us to understand that that's the true nature that He wants us to be and for the church to be, rooted in this missionary idea and going out and being sent. So He wants us to partner with Him to reach the lost. Now, when I say Him, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Father's in heaven and Jesus is at His right hand. But the Holy Spirit is with us, and we partner with Him in being sent out. So we're not gathering here just for our own sake, but we're gathering here with the purpose of encouraging one another in our sentness, if you can say that. I don't even know if that's a word, but in being sent out. You know, God wants His best for you and me, doesn't He? And so I believe this morning's message is a little bit of a wake-up call, a little slap on the face of sorts. For the Lord disciplines those He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. And so, yeah, He loves us and wants good things for us, but He wants your lives to be full, meaningful, rich, not necessarily in money, but lives filled with purpose. And the only way that can happen is to be walking in His plan for you and for me in being sent. And when you know you're being sent and actually are cooperating with them, man, I'll tell you what, life will not be boring. And your life will be rich and will be full and have much purpose. The problem is we live in this affluent society. We don't look at ourselves as being rich, do we? Not usually. Let me tell you, when we take that trip in February to El Salvador, you're going to find out how rich you really are and how rich I really am monetarily. These people that we'll be going to will have next to nothing, nothing. And God says this in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, from him much is required. Much is required. We've been given so much. We know the truth. And He has purposes for us. Not just to live in comfort, but to... The means He's given us is to reach out. And I'll say this. We just gave an offering to the Ukraine of almost $15,000. Did you know that? I'm like, oh my gosh. When I looked at that check, I'm like, my goodness, Lord, that was awesome. I thank you for that. That's God's heart of love, reaching out to these people that are in such need. That blessed the Father when He... That blessed me when I saw that check. Wow. So like Jesus, we've been sent. And we've been sent to this lost world. But the problem is we don't have enough interactions with the world. That's what I see one of our problems is. We don't mix it up with the world. How can we be like Jesus, touching the least of these, if we're not with them? I don't know if that makes sense to you, what I'm trying to say here. How would, you know, the salt, we're supposed to be light and salt, but how does, salt doesn't do any good unless you put it against the meat. It doesn't do any preserving unless it makes contact. Well, where are our contacts with the world? We're just in Mannheim here, the darkened parts of the town. Do we have contact with those people? Do we have effective contacts and relationships? John 1:14 says, the Word, that's Jesus, was the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among them. Think about that a minute. God came down from heaven, left all heaven's glory and all the wonderful things in heaven, and dwelt among them. He went to where he was needed and sent. He knew his mission, and he went to the people. He went to the undesirables, the nobodies, the down and outers. He came along the untouchables and touched them. Who are the untouchables in our society? That the worst sinners, the worst people in town. Now, I'm saying this for me too. I'm not trying to get on your case. I'm just saying it. He loved people so much, no matter their status or their background. I mean, let's face it, he hung out with tax collectors, which nobody would hang out with in his day. They were despised and hated by everybody. And yet he would eat dinner with them. He hung out, he was with that woman that had five wives, and the one she was with at the time he was talking to her wasn't even with any of those five husbands. It's like, if he came to Mannheim today, if Jesus came to Mannheim today, where would he hang out? Where would he go? To whom would he go? I think he would come to Teen Central. I think he would come here on weeknights and be right here. He is here. I know he's here through the Spirit and through the people that come here. That's why I volunteer here. It gives me a place to make contact, to have that interaction. I mean, what other place could I be able to speak into kids' lives that are so needy if I wasn't here on a Thursday night? I just would not have that opportunity, but it gives me that opportunity. Now, you may not be called to be here at Teen Central as a volunteer, but where are you being called to be is the question. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. If you don't know, you need to ask him. Say, Lord, where would you have me go? To whom are you sending me? And I'm guarantee you, if you pray that kind of prayer and ask him that kind of question, he's going to tell you. You think he's not going to answer that one? That's a no-brainer. He's like, man, I've been waiting for this prayer for a while, you know. He wants us to be available. That's the question. Because he wants us to allow our schedules, and I know Glenn does this. He'll allow the Lord to mess up his schedule for that day to just minister to somebody, to talk to somebody, pray for somebody. Are you willing to have your daily schedule messed up if the Lord brings somebody that you weren't expecting? I hope so. I hope I would. Not always. You know, this going is a choice of ours. And the Lord is so good at working in our lives. There's, go to this next slide, Scott. My dear wife, I love her. And she gave me this book, Love Does, to read. And the Lord really spoke to me through this book. I'm going to quote just a little bit out of the book. I think it'll speak to you too. Bob Goff is the guy's name. And this is a quote from the book. People don't want to be our projects. Would you want to be someone's project? But our friends. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. He's calling us to be present in others' lives too, which may involve sacrifice. Jesus spent time with all kinds of people most of us try to avoid. I had to think about that. Jesus spent time with the kinds of people that most of us try to avoid. I thought, boy, that's the truth. He goes on to say this, I often say to myself that I don't have time, but what I'm really lacking is not so much the time, just compassion. God wants us to keep our eyes open for people in need. This is still Bob Goff. Do something about it. And bow our whole lives to him instead. And lastly, Goff says this. God dropped you on this planet and decided to have you intersect history, not just at any time, but at this time. We're part of his plan, just like his son, Jesus, arrived here as part of his plan. So be the you that God called you to be for such a time as this. End of quote. Wow. Let's go back to the next slide here, Scott. Back to our runner in Mexico City, John Aquiri. The day of the race in Mexico City, it was particularly hot. Mexico City's hot in the summer. This is Summer Olympics. It was held later in the year because it was so hot there, but they held the marathon later. That's why when he finished, it was dark. You could tell it was dark. But this was a particularly hot and humid day. And we're talking about marathon runners here. Many competitors suffered heat stroke, cramps, and fatigue. And one by one in that marathon that day in Mexico City, these well-trained marathon runners dropped out of the race. Out of the 74 runners that started, 17 did not make it to the finish line. Now, these are well-trained Olympic athletes. 17 didn't make it. But Aquiri was not going to be the 18th. It was just sheer determination on his part to finish the race. And when he finally hobbled in that stadium that was nearly empty, the few fans that remained stood and gave him a standing ovation as he finished. And again, when he was asked why he didn't quit, he simply said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish it." We too have been sent on a mission by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants us to finish our race well and not quit. Yeah, we fall. We do. We all do. I do. We become battered. We become beat up. We get discouraged. We want to quit. But we too have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And we need to get up when we fall and fail, and we will, and continue to run the race he's called us to run. Remembering whose we are, he bought us with a price, and who we are representing as his ambassadors, Jesus. So let's have 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20 being read. Oh, she does? Okay, good.
And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Sorry. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God.
It's our mission, folks, right? Has given us the task of reconciling. He's gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation as his ambassadors. And we speak for Christ as his ambassadors, pleading, come back to God. Let's go to the last slide, Scott, and we'll read these other scriptures. If you have these scriptures, just read them in the order that are there. Now, listen. All these scriptures talk about being sent. Don't zone out. Most of these are in red. That means they're Jesus' words to us. So listen to these. Read these and let them sink in, not just zone out.
Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Hold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves.
John 4:35-36. Do not say, there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives his wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together.
Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
To conclude, I have this African desert proverb I came across. I don't know where I come up with some of these things. African desert proverb, and this is what it says. This is not scripture, but it's helpful. There is only one crime worse than murder in the desert, and that is to know where water is and not tell. We know where the water is, living water that can quench their thirst for eternity. And if we don't tell them, there's a whole world out there dying of thirst. And we have the greatest news to tell people. And we want to be like Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for each of us. You're a good father. And because you love us, you desire us to continually be changed to be more like your son, Jesus. More and more like Jesus every day. And we remember your son. He truly loved people, every person, the lost, the hurting, the down and outers, the social outcasts. Jesus, you loved them all, even the untouchables you loved. And Father, like you sent Jesus into the world, you're sending us into the world. You have placed each of us strategically where we are, in our families, in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, in our schools. We call it the sphere of influence. You have placed us each right where you want us. For such a time as this, to be your ambassador to those around us. Lord, give us a renewed urgency to tell the good news, the great news about Jesus. Father, remove the calluses that form on our hearts so quickly that we become callous to the lost and the lostness that's all around us. Give us hearts that are sensitive to you and the promptings of your Spirit, that we would be obedient to be co-laborers with the Holy Spirit to reach out to those you bring our way. I pray, Lord, that each of us would be just oozing the love of Jesus for the people around us, would see you in us, and they would know that you love them too. So help us in this, Lord. We can't do it by ourselves, but we thank you that your Spirit will continue to guide and lead us. And I pray for a blessing on these messages of being sent over the next weeks, that we would be a changed people, a people that are going constantly, telling others. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A children's song.